then could move to the next item, which is the report of the IASB.
Thank you, Michel. I am pleased to announce that the board finalized finally its deliberations on Visa's standard, and the standard will be published later this year, and milestone, very important standard. Moreover, in the last 2 months, we produced two important documents that greatly clarified certain aspects of the standard, which we knew many constituents were not clear about. First, we produced a paper that provided much clarity about the distinction between what is a lease and what is a service. It doesn't go on the, goes on the balance sheet, so that was a quite important distinction. And I think we have clarified that greatly. And secondly, we have produced a paper in which we compare our model with that of the FESB. And the main conclusion of that paper is that on the main issues, are remained truly converged, and also that the costs of implementation of the standards can be expected to be roughly similar. And the paper also gave a preview of effect analysis that we still are going to do. For example, we explained in the paper that it is very unlikely that the standard will have consequences for example, loan covenants companies, mainly because credit-orientated, like credit rating agencies and banks, of course, already look, know these are liabilities and that they have to take them into account. We will further work on an effect analysis, and I promise you first one that will be produced after the issuance of guidelines that we, and I promise that it's going to be a state-of-the-art effect. Secondly, a few words about revenue recognition and its transition. We have held several meetings. Many issues have been brought up. Mostly, they have been able, we have clarify issues at the table. Didn't need further work. We did, there were some issues around licenses, for example, and we did decide, the both boards decided to make some further clarifications. The ISB decided to add true minor clarifications. The FESB decided to add more application guidance, which further reaching consequences. So most likely, where currently the final standard was practically identical, for we will no longer be complete, but the outcome will be similar, and both standards will be largely converged. I think it's important, and I, my feeling is that the colleagues of the FSB are of the same opinion, that we bring this process to a close at a certain point, because what we do not want is to have a permanent state of standard setting. We have had a discussion paper, we have had an exposure draft. Now we are sort of having a pre. In 3 years' time, we'll have a post implementation stabilize this process. Not good to have so many opportunities. The FESB, the I know this is all very boring, but the FESB has last week decided to delay the effective date of the standard by 1 year to 2018. Our board is going to consider the same question later this month. Of course, for us, it's very important fact what has been. We are going to have our own resource group on impairment, and we hope that we'll strive for that process not to lead to much unrest, just give application, not guidance, but explanation to participants of that process. Really like to avoid at all costs that it's minor reopening. Last week we had an interesting meeting organized by the Financial Stability Board for impairment standards. I went there together with Lloyd, and it was very clear, you know, it's a difficult model. Expected loss model is much better. So it was very good that we talked to both preparers, auditors, and regulators. It really require a major effort on part of all of to make this work. Before coming to Canada, may I also underline that the Canada has been just excellent, positive effort. Very good exchange of views with many Canadian stakeholders. But before coming here, I went to the other side of the world, Korea and Japan. In Korea, I had a very fruitful exchange of views with the insurance industry about the new insurance standard. It gave me a deepened knowledge of the practical implications of our standard. So that's a very useful trip. Also went to Tokyo, where we found that the dynamics for IFRS application are still extremely strong. When I took over, when I started as a board member, there were only four Japanese companies in 2011 using IFRS. We are now heading for over 100 by the end of this year, and that represents over 20% of market cap. The LDP, the government party document, had put the ambition of getting 300 companies start applying IFRS. When I first read that, I thought it was unrealistic. Thus, it's really a snowball effect, what is taking. Then, Michel, you mentioned the mission statement, which we published last year. It is actually quite remarkable that an organization with such a strong mission as the IFRS Foundation didn't have a... perhaps because it was so obvious to us. Nevertheless, I went through a huge exercise with trustees, staff members, with advisory council to try to distill a couple of... about 200 words, what we are all about. And it was really a great learning experience. It will also make it easier for us to communicate why we do what we do. And it served also to get more focus internally on the, what we are all about. So it can be found on our website. And the first paragraph really says it all. It says, our mission is develop IFRS that bring transparency, accountability, and efficiency to financial markets around. And then it goes on to say that our work serves the public interest by fostering trust, growth, and long-term financial stability in the global economy. Issues of transparency, accountability, and efficiency are explained in the... not go in that here. I just want to say a couple of... a further explanation of these... mentioning of the long-term financial stability as a product of IFRS. That is always a bit have a mission in the world. Of course, our primary mission is transparency, and often when people ask us to pursue stability, there is sometimes that they want us to suppress economic volatility. So economic. So I've really thought about, was it, would it be wise to put in, and came to the conclusion that it is, because I am absolutely convinced that there can be no long-term without. Transparency is an essential precondition of, and that's why we expressly word long-term, because good accounting standards can have, in the short run, effect when it covers big problems, company, or the effects of an economic shock, financial results of a company. In the short run, it can lead to not be covered up. Long-term transparency is felt. It was very.
Thank you, Hans. Important developments and mission statement was the opportunity to go back to the fundamentals, which is sometimes useful when we have discussions, kind of conceptual issues. Are there any questions or comments on Hans' report? Yes, Dr. Koo.
Being the Hans stay in Seoul, we have many patients and exchange between our early course of early adoption. We have huge grievance carries. Especially in financial area, especially insurance, they have many complaints. Send us. They are very much accustomed to American style Korean gap. But we have a good meeting. Once. And many of Rivan's questions were also they gave Hans many questions and problem setting to be solved in the future, the practical areas. That's why Hans' visit to Seoul is very valuable.
Thank you. No other comment or question? That is the case. I will move to the next item.